about our Lord is that young man.
Just think about these things all through Isaiah, and we're just getting into chapter 8 and 9, and just look down at our handouts and see all the things that Isaiah says about our Lord. And just thought about it this last session, right before we closed, but in Luke chapter 24, talking about the road of Emmaus, even before, or just now, thought about it, and two men walking down to Emmaus, and the Lord meets them and talks with them, and just like you're saying, going on about, we thought the Messiah would be like this, or he would be like this to liberate us and to set us free, but the Lord kind of sets them straight. It says, in beginning at Moses and all of the prophets, which would be Isaiah that we're studying, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And just looking at, down at the list of all the things that just Isaiah says about our Savior, man, what kind of a conversation must that have been like to listen to, you know? I haven't even gotten into Moses and the prophets and all the feasts and the tabernacle and all the pictures and types and shadows that were to come just with Moses, but with Moses and all the prophets. Just Moses and Isaiah would be an amazing discussion to listen to. What did he say about Isaiah's chapter 1 through 8? I mean, that would have been an amazing commentary and an amazing trip, an amazing thing to listen in on our Lord's commentary of Isaiah and things of Moses and all the other prophets as well. Kind of gets your mind thinking about what that conversation would have been like.
Some years ago, I heard a brother speak in the Gospel of John. Let's go to the Gospel of John, to chapter 1. John chapter 1. Start with verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I know him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come, baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining, on him the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bare record that this is the Son of God. Again the next day, after, John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. In these verses, we have a phenomena, because we look at these verses, and we see these two disciples, these two men, the Apostle John who are, and the other one, who are disciples of John the Baptist. The nation Israel had had no word from God for 400 years. And suddenly, here's John the Baptist. And he's a Nazarite, never cuts his hair. And these two men are disciples of John the Baptist. And then one day, they just pack up and leave. The first prophet, the first word from God that nation Israel had heard in 400 years, and they just walk off and leave. Why did they just suddenly, all at once, 400 years, nothing, and then they just walk off and leave? Well, let's go back to Exodus chapter 12. And this is along the line of a lot of what we've been talking about. Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, verse 11. And thus shall you eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. You shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. We all know the story of the Passover. If we take that word in Hebrew, Pesach, and translate it directly into English, it would translate into Passover. That is the literal meaning of that word. In it, we have a vivid picture. God is always giving us pictures of what's going on. We go to John the Baptist, and he makes a startling statement. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. In Exodus, we find a lamb that is a Passover lamb. The whole thing revolves around the sin question, and what would a holy God do with the sin question? We look at the nation Israel, and we have Passover. John the Baptist points out the time has come. This is the one that will take away the sin of the world. Totally different realm. Completely different line of thought. Now, having said all of that, years ago I was reading a book on church history, and I ran into a thought that just absolutely stopped my thoughts cold. And it was talking about either the Catholic Church or the Greek Orthodox Church, and it talked about St. John the Theologian. Now, all believers are saints. But it says St. John the Theologian. That suddenly struck me, and I said, wait a minute. The Apostle John, that was what made him so different. Theology. That was his gift. We look at the writings of the Apostle John, and they have a theological bent. Every bit of it. All of it. Let's go to chapter 18, the Gospel of John. Chapter 18, the night before the crucifixion. Start with verse 12. And the band and the captains and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law of Caiaphas, which is the high priest that year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple, and that disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus to the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spoke unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. The Apostle John refers to himself as knowing the high priest. So here he is the night before the crucifixion. He's in the courtyard. Peter's outside. John goes to the servant keeping the door and says, it's okay, you can let him in. Apparently, the Apostle John was so well known in the household of the high priest that the servants felt free to take instructions for him. He tells us twice he was known unto the high priest. He probably asked questions that stumped even the high priest. We look at who he is, and we see, you go through the Gospel of John, and we see this over and over. Now let's go back to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, and we know this story. We'll just look at verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The story of Nicodemus. In verse 1, it refers to him as ruler of the Jews. The original Greek, the word ruler, is specific. It's far more specific than what we see. It designates a religious ruler. Now, when we see the rich young ruler, he is a political ruler. Nicodemus is a religious ruler of the Jews. That's almost undoubtedly the Sanhedrin. The Apostle John, and here comes a member of the Sanhedrin named Nicodemus. The Apostle John knows him on a first name basis. Immediately recognizes the man. The Apostle John, theologian. Now look at what he says. Let's go back to chapter 1 of the Gospel of John. The things that stick in John's mind. Chapter 1, verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto them and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Not a Passover lamb. The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Verse 35, and again the next day after John stood unto his disciples and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. This is what the Apostle John has recorded for us. This is what's in his mind. He understood some of the Old Testament types and patterns. The Lamb of God. Now, whenever I look at the Apostle John is the only one. You read his gospel, and he's right in the middle of the whole conflict with the Pharisees and the religious leaders. We don't get that from the rest of the other three gospel accounts. John, we get a bunch of it. We're right there in the middle of what's going on. I saw that it says St. John the theologian, and it struck me. And ever afterward, I look at John and I see a different person, a theologian. Doesn't make him any better than the other apostles. Paul was a theologian. Peter was not. You don't see theology all in his. But Paul and John, you just see theology all in what they write. Doesn't make him any better or any greater or lesser. But yet it gives us insight into who he is and why he wrote what he wrote. Some thoughts about the Apostle John.